This podcast is for adults 21 years of age and over. We talk about cannabis history and advertise cannabis products. If you're not 21, please come back when you are.
Spoke Media.
Greetings, folks. It's Abdullah.
And Bean.
And welcome back for another episode of Great Moments in Weed History. On this show, Bean and I, who are both cannabis journalists and media makers, go through one of the more fascinating points in the very, very long history of cannabis. I have no prior knowledge of the story we're about to hear. Bean has written and researched it, and he's going to tell it to me and you, and we're going to sit around and get high and have some tasty beverages and generally have a great time. So join us. Bean, what do you got for us today?
Well, it's a little bit different today.
Oh, yeah? I noticed there's a third chair in the room.
And who says that smoking weed kills your power of observation?
Yeah, seriously. Telling you, the first thing I noticed when I walked in here, third chair.
Yes, indeed. We have a very, very special guest today who has come to tell us about an incredibly great moment in weed history. Huh. It's one that happened right here in the City of Angels where we're recording. And it's one that not only happened in our lifetimes, but that we both experienced.
Wow. Oh, my God. So my mind is racing through some of the Los Angeles great moments that I've personally experienced. I can't think of one yet that this might be. Let's bring in our special guest.
Well, I think first you got to do a little work. You got to roll something up.
Oh, we have a guest coming. Oh, my God. In all my excitement, I just left these nugs unground right in front of me. I'm going to mitigate this right now.
Well, I think while you're working on that, I can go grab our very special guest. And then I think
we're ready
for another
great moment in weed history.
You know, it's no exaggeration to say this podcast runs on coffee and weed. And lately, the coffee has been top shelf because of our new sponsor, Vigilante Coffee. I grind my beans daily, no pun intended, and I do the whole pretentious hipster pour over thing every morning. And I gotta say, I really enjoy thinking about where my coffee came from and how it was grown and processed, just like weed. And just like weed, it's worth it to get the best coffee you can afford. And the good news is, if you brew your own at home, really good coffee is an affordable luxury. That's why I'm thrilled to have Vigilante Coffee on the podcast and in my mug each and every morning. Vigilante is a specialty coffee roaster that sources their beans directly from small, award-winning farms around the world and then roasts them to perfection. They support ending the war on drugs, and they want to support this podcast too because they believe that all you really need is coffee and weed. Amen. So treat yourself to a bag of their Golden Bean Award-winning Dank Blend, which has just returned for its fourth year. Dank is 80% Guatemalan and 20% Ethiopian. Brew that up nice and strong and pair it with a puff or two of good weed in the morning, and I guarantee you will be up and at them. To learn more or to order their amazing coffee, check out their website, vigilantecoffee.com, or you can visit one of their cafes. And if you buy a pound of those beans, well, please tell them Bean sent you. vigilantecoffee.com.
Spoke Media. So, this is certainly a familiar face, a fixture in the Los Angeles cannabis and art communities, my man Jesus Hands.
How you guys doing?
Yeah, I thought you guys might have intersected at some point.
We have. Of course, Jesus Hands is an LA staple, and we've run into each other at weed parties, and we even filmed together a little bit in the past. But I don't know all the details about the very, very important great moment in weed history that Jesus Hands himself executed right here in L.A. Why don't you tell us some more about it?
There's a pretty
iconic sign here in Los Angeles, and it says mostly Hollywood for the vast majority of its life. And I got to say, I was just talking about this the other day. Like, I've lived in Los Angeles. I'm here a lot to work. Every time I see that sign, it does something to me. Never more so for me than on a certain morning when I woke up, living in Los Angeles at the time, and had a gander at it, and it seemed to have been altered in some way. What did it say, my friend?
You know what? It was changed to say Hollyweed.
That's right. So thanks to Jesus Hands, on New Year's Day 2017, all the Angelenos within view of the Hollywood sign read it, and it said Hollyweed.
That's right.
Holy shit, man. Just that simple little change, those two little letters to shout from the rooftops, truly, and tell the people that a new era is on its way, an era of weed here in Los Angeles and here in California. Thank you so much for doing that. It was a huge moment. It made the news. It was fucking everywhere. And people were really excited. A lot of people were wondering how the fuck you managed to single-handedly alter two letters on this gigantic sign. So, yeah, that's nuts, man. What inspired you to do this in the first place?
So, a few things come to mind. 2016 was a crazy year for me personally. I think for a lot of people. But, you know, there's a lot leading up to that year in my life that brought me to doing that, whether it was working in the cannabis industry or working in the space of arts. It was really taking that and combining both of them. And all my experiences and failures and learning experiences and being able to project it into something to scale.
And I think just to put it in perspective, that was the first day that cannabis was fully legal in the state of California.
That's
we voted on it in November 2016, but the law didn't take effect until New Year's Day. And then I think a lot of people needed a little cheering up right around
that time.
Yeah,
seriously, yep, man.
Exactly.
Now, a lot of people don't remember this because it was also the day that Donald Trump was elected president. And, you know, obviously, that's what, you know, took over all the headlines. But a bunch of places legalized cannabis in various forms on that day as well. There was a number of ballot initiatives voted on. And in California, we voted in recreational legal adult use cannabis.
Yes.
And since then, I mean, in terms of reactions throughout the cannabis community, it's been a little bit of a mixed bag. At the time, it was a real momentous occasion, and we were all like, holy shit, what's the world going to look like? What better way to ring in that new year than a Hollyweed sign?
And this is what's kind of fun for us. First time we've had a guest in the studio. It's kind of the most recent, by far the most recent story. We've done a lot of stories like from the 70s.
And, oh, rad.
And so it is redefining what weed history even is. Really, the moment you did it was this pivotal, transformative moment in certainly California weed history, but I think for the world. And you said like, oh, if you saw the sign that morning, but people didn't have to live in Los Angeles or specific parts of Los Angeles because that shit, I'm on Instagram like once a month and my Instagram was just 100,000 pictures of that
sign. Yeah, dude. It hit the airwaves hard and fast for sure. I mean, it was all over Instagram. It was all over social media. It was all over the news.
In Hollywood, a shocking sight. Overnight, the iconic 45-foot-tall Hollywood sign altered to read Hollyweed.
The Hollyweed sign, I'm sorry, the Hollywood sign.
By the way,
this story caught fire over the weekend.
On New Year's Day, California woke up to find one of its most iconic landmarks defiled by pro-pot pranksters. It was funny.
You know, in Big Lebowski, when he says that thought had not occurred to us, dude?
Yeah.
When did the idea to change the Hollywood sign first occur to you, dude?
The thought to change the Hollywood sign came to me about 2 months before I changed it. So it would have been like October. I had the thought to change the sign to say love. And
so you were thinking you would like cover the entire sign with another sign that said love or somehow block it out
to say love. Okay, and gotcha. I was like trying to figure it out. I was like, nah, it's not going to work. And I was just going through my head of different combinations of things that I could say. And Hollyweed was not one of them, mind you. A week later, on the porch again, chilling, fucking on my Instagram. And I don't know if the fucking algorithm was already fucking dialed at this point or what, but they fucking tuned into my brain cell and on my friend's fucking feed, it fucking showed Hollyweed. And I went, the fuck? No. No fucking way. Hollyweed? I'm like, that's my fucking sign. That's what I'm going to fucking do. That's it right there. That's it. I'm fucking doing it.
And what was that? What was that photo from?
It was from Danny Feingood in 1976.
In the dark of night, some marijuana fanciers snuck up to the fabled Hollywood sign high in the hills above Tinseltown and strung sheets to make it read Hollyweed.
So this is the original guy who years ago, decades ago, did the Hollyweed thing. So you're... project was kind of an homage to this fella.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay.
And it was just like this synchronicity. It was just to see that and then to have that show up, I was like, okay, that's a sign. And I had no idea that anybody had even fucked with the Hollywood sign ever. And then I looked and I saw somebody like change it to like Kesha Wood. And I was like, oh, get the fuck out of here. No.
You know? Not as cool.
Not cool. And so I was like, nah. And, you know, just because something happens once doesn't mean it can't happen again in history. And I think that's the beautiful part about history is you learn from the past. And so that's what I did. And you know, I attempted to recruit people to help me, but everybody thought I was crazy. And they're like, they couldn't comprehend that had happened. And I was like, nah, it's happened, guys. Listen to me. Here's why. He did it for an art project, and he did it to sign the decriminalization from a felony to a misdemeanor. And so I was like, whoa, it's going to be going from a fucking misdemeanor to fucking legal. I'm like, whoa, this is a whole other level. History is starting to repeat.
Okay.
Yeah, I did a little research on Danny Feingood. Very, very much a friend of the podcast. Unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago, but I'm going to read a bit from his obituary in the LA Times just so we bring in his story. So he grew up in Los Angeles and he lived near the sign, and it was like imprinted on him. You know, you can just imagine. He grew up somewhere where he could see the sign every time he walked out
the door.
And the sign itself was built in 1923. Do either of you guys, Abdullah, do you know why it was built?
No, I don't. I know originally from a movie called The Rocketeer, I learned this, that it said Hollywood Land. And then also from The Rocketeer, I learned that The Rocketeer crashed into the land part, and that's why it says Hollywood.
Oh, okay, so you're up on the story.
I have all the facts beforehand. But yeah, so what is the story?
It was Hollywood Land, and it was a promotional campaign for like a housing development.
Wow. No kidding.
It was a housing development called Hollywood Land that was like, you know, this was a very new idea in 1923 to like build a whole development.
Wow.
And they're trying to sell it.
Yeah.
And people
That's
just
a huge sign to build just that. It's fucking massive. That's insane.
Letters too. It's just like.
But yeah, so what happened?
So this is from the Los Angeles Times obit. The first time Danny Feingood played a word game with the Hollywood sign, he hung curtains to make it read Hollyweed. That was January 1st, 1976, the day the state's relaxed marijuana law took effect, as you said, going from a felony to a misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. He also, at various times later, he changed it to say Hollywood because the Pope was coming. And
oh, so just blacking out one L.
Yeah.
That's rad.
And one time he had it say Ollywood to protest against Oliver North during the Iran-Contra scandal.
Ah, interesting. Guts. Wow, that's that convenient.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That sign can be used to express so many different things. You know what? We should black it out at some point so it just says, woo.
Hey, man, you say that, but... And one time, he, during the Persian Gulf War, he made it say oil war.
Wow.
Like, that one they took down very fast.
Oh, but that's clever, man.
Yeah,
that's
really a statement.
Good.
And so Feingood considered these alterations to be pranks, but also works of environmental sculpture.
Absolutely.
The Hollyweed sign, the first one, and that was the first time he changed the sign. It was originally conceived as a class project when he was an art major at Cal State Northridge. He started by making a scale model of the Hollywood sign, and then he spent about $50 on black curtains. But this was, you know, in the 70s, so that would be almost $200 in today's curtain dollars.
Have you seen how expensive goddamn curtains are these days? Shit, man.
So, just continuing with this obit, Feingood and his three accomplices used stones and ropes to hang the sheets. And I'm dying to hear how you did it, but we'll get there.
Yeah, we're going
to
need a play-by-play.
And they based their methods on how you raise sails on a ship. And according to his wife, Daniel's parents were up early that morning to catch the sign. They were very proud of him that he had thought this up. And this daring act earned him an A on the class project. And it's also how he actually started dating his wife.
Whoa.
She thought it was pretty cool.
Wow, Rad. Amazing. So for you, it was like, you know, it was opposite. At the end of a marriage.
Whoa.
And for him, it was at the beginning of a marriage.
May I add something about something that I found out after? Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, because his birthday. It's March 21st. Mine is March 22nd.
What?
Right? Isn't that
Dude,
weird?
That's crazy. It's one day later.
One day.
I'm going to do something we've never done before on Great Moments in Weed History. We're going to set up a speculative ghost microphone.
Yeah.
And if the spirit moves him and yes. Daniel wants to chime in, I think the portal is open at this point. We're almost through with this joint, but there's just enough left. Daniel, the weed in 2019, you want to try it?
It's really good. It worked, buddy. It worked. The weed is really good now.
But also, if you could bring us a little of that old school, like Maui Wowie shit that was around LA in the
70s.
Would try. Yeah,
absolutely. We'll try.
We'll have a nice session. And just to round out his story and they will get into the meat of this. He also tipped off. There was no social media. So he called some reporters and people in the media and said, this is going to happen. You're going to want to get a really good picture of it. And that made the image go around the world. It took a lot longer
wow.
for the image to go around the world, but it did. And the Los Angeles Times, in their account of this, referred to him as a vandal. And he wrote them a letter and he said, we broke no laws and did no damage to the sign. An artist's thoughts throughout history has been to create representations of the culture they exist in. By hanging four relatively small pieces of fabric on the landmark, we were able to change people's perceptions.
Yeah, man, that's the best kind of public art or street art or whatever you want to call it. That actually doesn't do any permanent damage. It's not an inconvenience to anyone, right?
That's key.
But it still says something. And is a strong image. And I mean, the clever thing about this one is that it's visible from everywhere. You know what I mean? It's it's pretty brilliant on all levels.
All right. I think we're going to take our little break.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Get paid to smoke some weed. Yep. And when we come back, we're going to go from your inspiration to your action.
Awesome.
Smoke weedia.
And we're back. We are about to find out exactly how my man Jesus Hands turned the Hollywood sign into the Hollyweed sign for one very special day at the beginning of 2017.
Yeah, and I know we just had a joint and we're smoking a joint, but the epic scale of this story, I think, yep.
Requires a second.
You're going to have to start rolling it, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, when did it go from inspiration to action mode?
I started to think very simple. I've never been up to the sign. So about 2 weeks before, I decided to hike up. So I got up early in the morning and mobbed up.
I'm not that cool. Mobbed up.
Mobbed up. So
where I grew up, mobbed up meant one thing. I don't think that 90s. You got three guys all named Tony in the car with you. Well, there's Anthony, and Tony.
Tony Jr.
Oh, no. Tony Jr.'s. Oh, we'll talk about another time.
I got Tone.
That's Let's another go. Great
Don't
moment.
Talk about Tony Jr. So what's mobbed up?
So then I took an Uber. That's me mobbing up.
So where do you get dropped off? What's it like there? And then what's the hike?
So when you go up Beechwood, it's a neighborhood. And at the end of the street, there's a gate that the neighbors or the people on the street, the residents fought to get in place because people would be going up to the Hollywood sign and back in the hills past sunset and causing a big stir. So I think the gate was there for about 2 years prior to me doing this. You know, it's really just a deterrent.
Well, had you done other things like this before? Had you changed signs? Had you
nope.
Gone places you weren't necessarily supposed to go?
In the term of like being a rebel, yes. I wasn't doing any large scale installations. Like I'd done smaller things around Los Angeles, like in the riverbed. And so that was really my exposure to like art on like a large scale.
Cool. And so you're at the gate.
Back to the gate. Let's go to the gate.
What's the gate look like?
So the gate is just like, it's a green gate, maybe like 12 feet tall. I don't know if it's green, maybe beige. I don't fucking remember. I'm just thinking fucking colors now. I'm just throwing shit.
We all smoke weed here. The color of a gate from 3 years ago. You're off the hook for that.
Trivial detail.
I think there's a little rust on there.
He didn't do it. That gate is chartreuse. This guy's full of shit.
Anyways, back to the hill.
Yeah.
So I'm coming up Beechwood. I pass through the gate. There's a security guard there in the morning, chilling. And I'm like, all right, cool. There's a guard here. Check. And there's a hiking trail that you can go up. So I hike up the trail. I get to the top of Mount Lee, and it's about 7 in the morning. As I get up there, there's like 3 other hikers. And
and you've got like all your gear on you right now. So you've got what? Like, what do you have with you?
I don't have anything with me at this point. I'm just hiking in the morning. This is
okay. This is you scouting. Okay,
he's casing the joint.
Gotcha. I'm casing the joint.
As Tony Jr. would say.
We don't talk about Tony Jr.
Oh, yeah, cut that out.
So I get to the top, and two other people up there, one of them has an American flag, and he has his dog with him, and he's putting up an American flag on top of Mount Lee when I get up there in the morning. And I'm like,
wow, interesting.
Whoa, this is weird. And I'm like, check, like, note. I look around, and there's a bunch of trash everywhere. And then I'm like, this place is dirty. I'm like, and I'm looking, and there's a bunch of cameras everywhere. And I'm like, okay, you have a grip of cameras, but you have a bunch of trash. Like, nobody's really watching what's going on. I see cigarette butts everywhere, like, nobody really cares, but people are pretty halfway responsible. But I see the guy putting up the flag, and I'm like, yo, that is a fucking sign. He's fucking expressing himself in the way of, you know, embracing America for what it is or was at the moment on that day. And
that guy was like, I'm taking this hill for America.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
This hill is going to be claimed by its rightful owner. So anyways, so you see this. I mean, that is definitely a pretty crazy omen. There's been a number of omens already. There's a lot of, like, synchronicity going on. So what happens next?
Then he starts chatting it up with the lady up there, and then I start, you know, I walk down closer to the road, and then you can look over at the back of the sign, and you're looking out towards the city now. And I'm trying to see cameras and their locations. I walk back and I hike back down the mountain, and then I just get right to work in like grind mode of like, okay, what needs to happen? What do I need to do? And I didn't know, like, from what you read, like, they don't give you like the dimensions or any of that stuff. You know, I just had to wing it. Like, I knew I had to do it. I just knew it had to be done. The risk is not that big. 2 weeks later, and it's like New Year's Eve, and I'm fucking down to the wire. That day, I'm still going out to grab the rest of the fabric because I couldn't find sheets big enough. We had to fucking sew them together and make a massive one.
And you just got bed sheets from like the store?
Yeah, from a thrift store. From the dollar store or whatever? Yeah, from a thrift store.
And you have a little crew that you're working with at this point?
The funny thing is, it was my ex-wife. So she helped sew the fabric together for me. I fucking came up with the dimensions by looking at the ladder on the side of the fucking letter and then looking up the dimensions on what regulation has for the city for ladders on billboards and signs. Oh. I swear. And so then I took those measurements and I went off the photo and I measured across and then added like 4 feet on each one, and it was just enough.
Oh, wow. No kidding. Sorry. So it was a guesstimate.
Yeah, it was a total guesstimate. Holy that shit could have been man. Short.
And you nailed it because, I mean, when you look at images of the sign, it's pretty dead on. I mean, like, you know, it looks perfect.
And did you have any, like, little Obi-Wan type moment where Daniel was like, 32 feet.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, that came later. Like, yeah. I swear, later in the story, like, there's a real thing to that.
We'd love to hear it.
So if you're cool with talking about it a little bit, how did your ex get back into the mix of this project?
I just asked her if she could help me. So in the past, we'd always worked creatively. The work ethic was perfect. Like, it was a good match. It was just perfect. I mean, if it wasn't her, it was going to be somebody else. I mean, but she did a great job. And honestly, I wouldn't have asked for anybody else to do it.
So you've checked it out. You got everything you need at this point to actually pull off this caper. How'd you actually do it?
How did I do it, man? That's a fucking 99% of it was fucking mental. The physical aspect of it was planning. And what I wore that night was camouflage. you know, I live in the United States. I'm going to fucking do it like an American and fucking wear a fucking camo and like, you know, like use what's there, use what's available. And I had this jacket that I thrifted like fucking 2 years prior and I wore it on the ranch every day. Well, not every day, but I load up clamps on both sides of this jacket. And the clamps are what I use to attach the sheets to the sign. So my right side was 1-0, my left side was another 0. The top pockets were the white middle, and then the bottom was the black side. So I had it all just coordinated because I didn't have much room for error. You know, once you're up there, like that's it. You're committed.
Yeah.
Once you're over the fucking fence, you're committed, you know?
Is there anything else that you need? Did you need climbing equipment, ropes, or
were you wearing a ski mask, boots, or anything like that?
So I had Timberlands on. They were steel toe. I had some jeans. I had thermals because it rained. It was scheduled to rain, so I was prepping for fucking rain that night.
Oh boy!
Yeah, I was ready for
January
like,
in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and I had like fucking hand warmers in case I had to hide in the fucking bushes. And then I started getting like a little bit on the paranoid side of like, fuck, man. Like, there's been a lot of fucking shootings from, like, law enforcement. Like, I started thinking, like, man, I'm going up there with a fucking jacket and a backpack and a bag, a fucking duffel bag. I look like a fucking terrorist or somebody that's going to do up fucking some shady shit.
If you open your jacket, it's nothing but clamps.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. It seems a little sus, right?
Yeah, very.
And the actual story seems quite sus as well.
Yeah. The planning and everything.
Yeah.
So the clock's fucking ticking. It's coming up to fucking midnight. And I'm like, okay, shit. My plan was to be there up on the sign by like 3 and have all my shit. I have the fucking sheets rolled up, folded all fucking proper in each bag. So when I grabbed them, I knew that they would unroll a certain way and fucking fall. And then I could just pull them up. There was no confusion for any of this shit. It had to be down. I still ran into fucking problems. I mob up the fucking mountain. But when I mean mob, I mean me and fucking Tony Jr.
So what's the path up the mountain like? Is it like paved or rough?
Oh, it's muddy. And I wasn't really accounting for like the weight of the mud on my shoes and stuff like that. Or to be like, oh, fuck, I'm going to slip while I'm up trying to climb.
And this is your first time being up there at night.
At night, alone.
So that's a new factor. Yeah. And you're coming up, you're saying, behind the sign.
Behind the sign. That's right. I was fortunate, too, when I was dropped off at the gate. The security guard wasn't there, but his booth was. He fucking dipped out for the night. I was like, yes, fucking score. So, I mean, I was in
New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Right? I was like, yeah, fucking show. Getting his, right?
Yeah. Boy, did he have a rough morning.
Yeah. Right?
I hope he at least smokes weed.
He's like, New Year's morning. You're like, 19 missed calls from work. Oh, shit. Now you're in there. Your boots are just covered in mud.
Covered in mud. So I get up to the back and there's a fucking gang of light and I'm fucking starting to freak a little bit. This is the only time I got hesitant. The only time I had doubt was right as I'm turning the corner. I remember feeling like, man, all eyes on me all of a sudden because of the fucking light.
It's also like the spotlight for you.
I guess so.
In a very, very Hollywood way.
Yeah, I wonder
or
if there
a very
was
Hollyweed way.
Yeah.
I wonder
if
there was anyone actually looking at the sign in these next few moments and being like, oh my God, somebody's changing something. And they probably, you know what? They probably assumed that they saw it. Oh, it's probably like a sanctioned ad campaign or something. But yeah, so what happens next?
I started to walk down below the front of the sign. Walked in front of the H and the O, and I look up and I can hear the static, like, two-way radio. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, this shit's fucking hot. And I'm like, fuck, somebody could just fucking talk to me right now and be like, leave. You know what I mean? Like, thou shalt not pass. You know what I mean? Like, some crazy shit. And nobody did. And I was like, all right, cool. And there's like two cameras and two sensors on every letter at the bottom. And I think there's one at the top of each letter. There's a bunch of cameras on that fucking sign. Oh, I don't even know. I think there's like 22 total on the top of Mount Lee. One is a direct line back to LAPD. So then I start passing these fucking sensors and they start going off and turning red, like they're activating the cameras to record. Oh. And I'm like, oh shit. And I notice the fucking ladder does not come all the way down. The bottom of the ladder to climb up the side of the sign is like 15 feet on the first O. So to get to that, I had to shimmy between the mountain that was cut out around the beam and then the other side of the beam and just go between the two until I got to the bottom of the fucking thing and then pull myself up and then climb. And each letter is like around like 50 feet in height.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And wow. So the task at hand is in the wood part. You have to change two O's to E's.
That's right.
And you're between these two O's, using them to shimmy yourself up the side high enough to drop the drapes, basically.
Is there like a ledge up there or like what?
No,
so
in order to get across from one side of the ladder to the other, there's like six or eight steel beams that go between the letters for structural strength. I was able to go between two of those. On the first letter, I used like a tie down for a truck as like my harness, harness around one of those things. And then I shimmied across. I had to think outside the box because I didn't calculate for the width of the side of the letter to bring the sheet around.
This happens to me every time I try to put a fitted sheet on a bed.
Oh, right.
I've never once gotten it right on the first try.
Yeah. That's exactly it. That's a perfect one, dude.
Oh, okay. I see.
Pull it harder.
So you didn't know if you were doing it the right way, if it was supposed to be 90 degrees rotated, essentially?
Yeah, in order to rotate it the 90 degrees up.
Oh, yeah, right. So you didn't account for that. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
And so what I had to do was I had to take off that fucking harness.
And this is five stories up, 50 feet in the air.
Yeah, and it's slightly windy, so the fucking letter is like swaying, you know? It's like, oh, man.
So it's more than reasonable to say you're risking your life at this point to some extent.
Yeah.
And was that something that... you would have taken that bargain going in, or it just, as adventures do, the stakes raise and raise.
Yeah, it's almost, as they raise, it's like, okay, I guess that is what I signed up for, because it's like the challenge and being able to like solve that problem on the spot. And that's, I think, innate in me. Like, I really like that. I like to be able to solve problems. Mm-hmm. I'm like a solution-based person for all. So like, I guess that was just part of it. Looking back, like, fuck, man, if I was told that was going to happen, I would have been, like, obviously prepared, but, like, it would have freaked me out. It would have fucking given me a bunch of anxiety to be like, oh, man, you're going to do that? If I was to sit and watch that happen of myself, I'd fucking be freaking out. Like, dude, what are you doing? No, you're fucked. You know, I would have talked myself out of it. For sure. But the only thing that fucking clicked in my head was, fuck, I did it. Cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. And I was like, all right, cool, I'm out of here. I should probably run. And so I start running, like, for no fucking reason, like, just scared myself. And I'm like, why am I running? Like, I'm done. Who gives a fuck? Like, they have
now
to
you're not
it.
Carrying all the shit that you've been carrying.
Yeah, exactly. So I have it all, like, packed away. I'm cruising. I got back to the point of entry, and I started to run a little bit. Like, I was sprinting, like, and as I was running, there was, like, a little pothole, and I rolled my ankle in these boots, bro. Like, in boots? Like, come on, Tim's, you did me dirty, you know? Like, so I at that point, I was like, yo, just chill, bro. I'm like, you got a joint. It was Jack Herrera. I just lit up a joint, and music was playing. So I had it on shuffle. This is another omen, bro. I had it on shuffle. An artist by the name of Jim James. There's a song called The World Smiling Now. And it came on. And like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing, because in the distance, I was able to see fireworks going off because it was New Year's. To have that song come on and be like the world smiling. And the best part about it is like, I never really got to see the sign completed. I left, I went home. And I didn't see it until the next day, that morning.
Right.
A few hours later on media.
And then, so were you expecting it to blow up the way that it actually did?
No. Honestly, you know, while I was up there on the sign, like I said, it got windy and started swaying. Like, I was nervous that the things were going to fucking blow off, bro. I was like, these things might fucking blow off. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if they're going to be strong enough, the clamps. Like, just to have it done, I felt like mission completed. Like, that was the fact that it blew up the way it did, like, I fucking deflated when I got home. I went right to bed. I felt like all my powers were used. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That shit was gone, bro.
Yeah,
I was drained.
I always sleep really well after something like
after
that.
After pulling off a caper? Yeah.
So,
All right.
So you got a joint of Jack Herrera, and as I'm sure you know, not only a legendary weed strain, but a legendary person in the weed movement who pushed for this legalization moment his entire life and got to see a lot of progress, but didn't get to see it all. So I think that's a really beautiful.
Very appropriate. Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. All right, so you get home, you fucking collapse on the couch, right? And the world finds out about Hollyweed once again. Your shit blows up. You go viral for a day. How'd you find out?
I found out by my ex-wife busting down the door to the bedroom and being like, Zach! Zach, it's everywhere. And I was like coming to him like, what? Like what? I remember sitting up in the bed and I remember it so clear. And her like almost like this with like the door open, you know, like a fucking sitcom, you know, and being like, what is everywhere? What are you fucking talking about? I had like no memory. It was like fucking amnesia or something. I swear. It was like, it took me a second to come to and be like, what the fuck is she talking about? And maybe in like a span of 5 seconds, but it did, you know, and then it hit me and I was like, and she was like, come downstairs. And I went downstairs and it was on TV and I was like, whoa. Like,
and on mainstream. TV, like on the news.
Yeah, like fucking Channel CNN 4 or fucking, yeah.
Like right whatever. Then. Like every time you see something like that in the movies where they happen to turn on the TV and then it happens to be talking about the exact plot point. And you're like, oh my God.
So were you worried about getting arrested for doing what you did?
No. What came into play for me was literally doing my due diligence and looking through the law and being like, what does trespassing mean in California? Like, what does it say? I'm going to read that shit. I read what the definition of vandalism was as well.
I think that comes out of being a weed person is like, if you are constantly under the threat of some law and it changes depending on where you are and what you're doing, and that 100th plant is a lot different than the 99th plant, and this county is a lot different. And you went through all of that in that gray market area.
Yep, calculate, add it up, make sure it's aligned, right?
Did you ever have any repercussion? Like, what was the backlash, if any, that you got over the sign thing?
So the police, LAPD, like, reached out pretty quick.
So they knew it was you. They'd seen you on the cameras. They figured it out.
Yeah, well, they just knew it was, like, a single individual. They couldn't identify who it was, but they knew it was a male individual is what they said. And gave, like, the description. Chief of police fucking reading it off. And I was, like, waving, you know? Like, I was waving at the fucking camera. And I put my Instagram handle on there as well as a tribute to Mr. Feingood on the sheets.
Oh, okay. So it had your handle on. So that was, it was traceable to you.
Yeah, and I posted a photo. You know, it's all, like, in my eyes, it's hearsay. You know, anybody can just say they fucking did it. And people did. And it
was, you know. Other people said they took credit for it.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
I am Sparkabus. Wait, sorry. I am Spartacus.
Yeah. So other than that, but the cops didn't do any. Okay, so the cops show up. They get in touch.
So they get in touch, first with my ex-wife leaving her a message saying that they need her to come down to the station, talk to her or myself about the incident. My attorney, I got an attorney on deck that came through for me, and he was in touch with the LAPD, and they wanted me to turn myself in on, like, a Friday. And he was like, no, bro. He's like, definitely don't go in on Friday.
Yeah,
like,
you'll be in booking until like, Monday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Three-day weekends are great and all, but...
He's like, if I were you, he's like, I would just lay low. He's like, but they did say they're going to try to find you in Joshua Tree on the Central Coast. Like, they're just based on my Instagram post, they're like... Trying to throw threats. And I'm like, oh, man. All right, so I was on hideout mode for... a bunch of like press media like that was going on at the time, and it was a little bit of like duck and roll, you know.
That's when we met. You came up to that office. You were still in this in-between period where you'd done the deed, but you had not been held to account for anything in any way, and it was some cool outlaw shit.
Yeah, that's fucking
the
wild.
Outlaw days. You know, I like to tell people the 15 years at High Times, I started with, I'll get in the trunk of your car and go out and see your grow. And now it's like, oh, I'm the CEO of blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
Seriously.
So it was cool. But so then when does your intersection with law enforcement happen?
So that happened on the first. I went to the station, turned myself in, catch and release. They charged me with trespassing, which I already knew by my research is like one of the hardest, if not the hardest things to prosecute in California. There has to be some sort of offense that's tied to it, like vandalism, which obviously there wasn't because I didn't, you know, damage the sign and whatnot. So
how did doing this change your life?
Changing the sign changed my life, really. Some people like will judge me for the way I look right away, or you know what I mean, and have like a judgment about who I am. But the second that they understand like something that I did, like their mood and everything changes. It's just weird to see that, like, people get fucking punked and real. You see a realness in people that like you don't normally get to see. So I feel like for me that's something new to like experience, because you get to see like authenticity in life. Like for me personally, it's just been more work, which I love. So it's like I was ready for this. Like this is what I want.
I bet that you got a lot of free weed after this happened.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. What was the weed gifting like after this thing?
Oh, bro. So many levels of like, I had to like stop answering direct messages and shit. Like emails, I just couldn't answer all of them. And like, but yeah, just a bunch of love to Tommy Chong. Fucking hooked me up with some stuff.
Oh, dope.
Nice. So he loved it, right?
Yeah, he loved it. He really embraced the whole thing and like really gave me a lot of love. I felt like fucking king, man. Like boss, you know?
That's amazing. Yeah. So how did that happen? Like he got in touch with you and you guys hung out?
Yeah, yeah. He had his team like contact me through Instagram, bro. So weird. Just like to see like that play. You know what I mean? Like, nah, that's not real. And then I fucking got on the phone and I was like, all right, it's real. Like, you know what I mean? And we set up a time to meet and like kind of took me around. We went to a bunch of shops.
I imagine they roll out the green carpet at most dispensaries when Tommy Chong shows up.
Yeah.
Did he talk at all about the original? Because I know like 1973, Cheech and Chong are kings of Hollywood.
Era, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, he did. He did remember it. And he talked about it. He's like, yeah, I remember when it happened in 76. And like,
wow.
Like his team was telling me they've never seen Tommy so happy. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, swear. Like I was just like,
that's
really?
That's so cool,
I was like,
man.
Wow. Like it was like really touched me.
Well, you did that, man. That's amazing.
It was really weird. I think out of everything, it fucking humbled me, honestly. Like I've been in and out of like growing and art and growing and art and growing in art, and like finally was able to merge the two, and I felt like fuck. And then being able to build off of that is a whole other fucking spectrum of life that I'm now experiencing. So I feel really blessed. You know what I mean?
For real, man. Well, you put yourself in the weed history books for the rest of time. People will always remember. This is weed country.
There are curtains in our hearts blocking those O's.
I've been trying to get those back. Anyway, if anybody can help me, if I can dial those, let's fucking get them.
And you got your own weed thing going now, right?
Yeah, I do. Able to launch at Hall of Flowers, an expo up in Santa Rosa. Amazing event with Holly Weed. I decided to brand my art and be able to carry on a torch of light and love through cannabis.
So you've got an actual cannabis company now? You're packaging, you're cultivating, packaging weed?
Yeah.
Ooh,
he brought a gift.
It is a gift bag.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So, dude, honestly, this tote bag alone is so fucking awesome. It's just a black tote bag with the Hollyweed sign on it. That's incredible. And peace and love. That's so tight. Ooh,
pre-rolls.
There's some awesome shit in here.
Should we spark one of these pre-rolls up as we take her home?
Yeah, nice. Let's light one of these up, man. So look for it in your local dispensary, Hollyweed, by our good friend Jesus Hand.
That's right.
Who is not only in the weed history books, but in the weed history podcasts.
Yeah,
that's right.
Damn right. And that's for everybody in the post-apocalypse. Good shit. Well, thank you so much for coming, my man, Zach, Jesus Hands.
Thank you.
What's your Instagram?
Jesus Hands.
All right, at Jesus Hands, that's simple enough. Check out our boy Zach at Jesus Hands on social media. And thank you so much for hanging out with us and learning about a very recent piece of weed history that is so important and so relevant and that we'll remember for a long, 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 long time. Thank you for doing what you did, my man.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you next time on Great Moments in Weed History.
Great Moments in Weed History is a Spoke Media production. It's hosted by me, David Bienenstock, a.k.a. Bean, and Abdullah Saeed.
We're produced by Brigham Mosley and Cody Hoffmachel with help from Reyes Mendoza and Kendall Lake.
Special thanks to Gold Digger Studio. This episode was mixed by Jonathan Villalobos. Our executive producers are Aaliyah Tavakolian and Keith Reynolds.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at GMIWH Podcast.
Check out our show notes where you'll find more information about things we discussed today and links to our sponsors. And if you really love the show, honestly, the best thing you could do for us is to simply tell your friends about it at the next Smoke Sesh.
Well, that's the show, folks. Thanks so much for listening, and if you stuck around this long, please consider supporting us on Patreon. You could put five on it at greatmomentsinweedhistory.com, and that would really help us as we research, write, edit, and publish a new episode every Wednesday. Great Moments in Weed History is written, produced, and performed by me, David Bienenstock, a.k.a. Bean. Special thanks to our sponsor, PAX. Go to PAX.com and use promo code GREATMOMENTS, all one word, for a big discount at checkout.